If you've owned a cell phone for a while now, you know that ICE in the context of the phone does not mean frozen water. ICE is an acronym for In Case of Emergency, a helpful acronym to put in front of your emergency contacts in a cell phone. If you need help, emergency workers can quickly find the emergency contacts in your phone just by searching for ICE. In winter, we tend to talk about the other kind of ICE, but Visiting Angels Living Assistance Services suggests using this winter to help seniors ICE their cell phones in the phone sense of ICE. Michael Jamieson is the owner of Visiting Angels and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the easy stuff. What is Visiting Angels?
Visiting Angels is an in-home care agency. We provide assistance and support for individuals that need assistance with what we call activities of daily living. And that can be anything from meal preparation to help with bathing or running errands and shopping.
So personal care assistant, not quite a nurse?
That's correct. It's actually classified as non-medical. We do support nursing functions that are provided in the home, but we ourselves are classified as a non-medical agency.
So this is for people who can still live in their own homes if they're on in years, but and certainly are not quite ready for assisted living or something like that, but they get the assistance in their own homes.
Well, it's actually an alternative to assisted living. We focus on helping to maintain independence. And it can be a very viable alternative to assisted living with sometimes folks just need a little bit of assistance to remain at home. And it could be, like I mentioned, something like meal preparation. If they were able to have somebody come in and provide meals for them, it would enable them to stay at home. And that's a very cost-effective way for them to maintain independence.
So is Visiting Angels franchised across the country? I mean, you have an operation in Medford, I understand.
That's correct. We actually own Medford and Eugene operations, and it is a franchise operation. There's over 450 Visiting Angels across the country.
And so where did the idea for the ICE a cell phone campaign arise?
Well, what we found is that the our clients would need to contact people. Some of them are new to using cell phones. Not knowing how to use that technology, one of the things that we found is that for them to get in touch with loved ones or people that that they need, we wanted to help them in that process for safety and look at ways that we could enhance their ability to communicate with individuals. And that's where it started.
Any idea of the use of cell phones by seniors in this in the group you tend to work with? I mean, is it 60% own them, 40% own them? Any numbers available?
Boy, I couldn't give you an exact percentage on that, Jeff, but I can tell you we have a client that is in her 90s, and she says, I would prefer that you text me because I enjoy texting. So you just never know what level of technology they're going to be wanting to use and with seniors. We've also, for example, Visiting Angel sponsored a class at a local independent living facility where we help seniors to learn how to Skype so they could be in contact with their loved ones. So there are some quite a number of seniors that are affluent in technology and use it to their advantage. There is a good percentage. I would estimate probably 10, 20, 30% that that really aren't utilizing some of the technology that's available.
And so the process of icing a phone, why don't you walk us through some of the steps that are recommended here?
Well, what we'd like to do is put in those contacts that are important to them, and if they need help and it's an urgent matter, then we help them to navigate their phone to put them in, for example, in their favorites contact, so they can just pull those names up and touch a name and it dials the number for them.
Now, there's more than one then, so you really want to have more than one ICE contact just in case number one's not available, et cetera?
That's correct. Something on the lines of, if we looked at one of the models we looked at is like a life alert type of system where you have alternative phone numbers that are available should somebody not be available once they're called. So, yes, that's correct. We put more than one number in.
All right. So, but it's kind of clear, I think, from some of the materials I've been reading about this, you need to make sure that you've checked with the people to make sure they're okay with being your emergency contacts first.
Oh, absolutely. It's always a good idea to let them know that they're going to be on the list and that they're going to agree upon that, and that they understand what the purpose of it is. We always explain, and I'm sure a lot of folks have heard out there, when you call in to a doctor's office or a support type of function, one of the first things you always hear is, if this is an emergency, call 911. So we also want to train individuals that are going to be on the ICE list about that as well. If they get a call from the person with the phone that we've helped set up the ICE system with them, then to know the right questions to ask are as far as if it is an emergency, and then direct them to call 911 or call 911 themselves.
All right. Well, you're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the process of icing a cell phone. In this case, ice a cell phone for a senior, which is the campaign being suggested by Visiting Angels Living Assistance Services. Michael Jamieson is its owner and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Join us here at 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. This process doesn't seem like it would take more than just a couple of minutes.
That's true. It doesn't take very long at all, and especially when we have the phone numbers right there in front of us, and we can talk to them about the individuals that they would prefer to have on their ICE list, who they would know and trust. And oftentimes it can be a family member. It can also be a neighbor.
Is there a general recommendation for whether it should be somebody who's closely related to you or somebody who's not, just because they're outside the family?
Well, it really depends on the individual and their relationship. You know, sometimes if they're in the family, it can be a close relationship. Other times, it's not. So it's really based on who they feel is going to be more responsive in those times of need.
And so, has Visiting Angels done the ISO cell phone safety campaign before?
Yes, it's what we try to do is to bring it out. Not on a seasonal basis, but more on a rotating basis, because we have new clients coming to us on a regular basis, and new people that are entering into the area of requiring care at home, and so these folks may not know about the ICE campaign and the benefits of it.
And what are some of the components here? There are some things you offer with the campaign, aren't there? Like stickers for the phone, stuff like that?
Yeah, there are, and so there's stickers. There's also flyers that we can have available. There's brochures that are available that we can send out to family members so they understand how the program works and with phone numbers to contact us if there's any questions at all.
And the stickers are information for whom?
Well, they can either be used by the care recipient themselves or for the family members or contacts that they have on their list.
All right, but it's right there on the phone to let people know that there are ICE numbers in there?
That's correct.
Okay. You just mentioned about the general trend of things. I'm curious about the growth of Visiting Angels over the years, given the fact that we have the baby boomers generally entering retirement now, the leading edge of them anyway.
Mm-hmm. So tell me your question on that, Jeff.
The question is how quickly you're growing your services at Visiting Angels, given the graying of the American population.
Oh, absolutely. Well, what we're looking at now is that significant growth in the industry in the area of about 40% annually. And, you know, as baby boomers, as we're all aware, there's about there's the baby boomers are the largest population segment in our nation. And there's an estimate of about 10,000 baby boomers per day that are retiring. And as they move into the areas of requiring additional assistance, one of the terms that's used is the silver tsunami. And there's a lot of folks that are coming into the area of needing some type of assistance, and that's where the 40% growth is estimated to be projected out for the next 20 years. One of the challenges that we look at is that we want to provide the caregivers that can provide the care. And that's one of the areas that we're looking at now as an industry, is making sure that we can meet the needs of this growing population of folks that are entering into the area of requiring some assistance.
And what kind of training is required of caregivers, or what sort of knowledge do they need to possess? Degree of education? What's the salary? I mean, give us the general workup on the people who would be likely to be caregivers.
Yeah, in the state of Oregon, Visiting Angels were a licensed agency. And so there are no particular requirements upon the individual caregivers for to be a caregiver. However, they do operate under our license, and as such, they're required to have ongoing training and a certain amount of upfront training before they're allowed to provide care in the home setting. Now, Visiting Angels requirement, which is a national requirement, is that our caregivers have to have experience as a caregiver to even apply. So we set the bar a little bit higher to begin with, but we add to that when they're brought on board, there's an orientation and training process that the individual caregiver will go through. And then we, throughout the year, there's a minimum amount of training that's required called ongoing training. And that can come in the form of online training. We also have individuals that are providing care to seniors throughout the community that come in and provide training for our caregivers. And that can be anyone from a registered nurse, a physical therapist, representative from hospice, representatives from the Alzheimer's Association. So we like to get that exposure to our care staff as wide as possible to those individuals that are supporting the seniors that we provide care for in the home.
The needs of the seniors obviously differ, as you pointed out early on. I mean, some need just help with daily tasks, some need cooking meals, et cetera. So given that, I mean, would a member of Visiting Angels, would a worker generally have more than one client or tend to stick with one? How does that work?
Well, it depends on the requirements of the client. So, for example, we have some clients that will visit once or twice a week for a couple of hours. Then we have clients on the other end of the spectrum that require 24 hours a day care. So it really depends on that type of what we call acuity level of our entire makeup of our clients. And so caregivers really have the option of choosing how many hours they would like to work with Visiting Angels. We have a software system that we use, for example, that we block them out on those times where they don't want to work. So they can work 3 hours a week or they can work 40 hours a week. It's really up to them. And we want to accommodate their needs because we realize that some of them are simply working part-time. Another thing that we do is we try to promote and support those individuals that are looking to further their career in the healthcare industry. For example, we have several caregivers that are enrolled in the CNA, which is Certified Nursing Assistant Program, and that enables them to gain additional skills, which is better for our clients, but also to advance their individual careers as well. And so we carve out their schedule to make sure that they're not booked for providing care during those times that they're going to school.
So do the Visiting Angels caregivers function as independent contractors? Are they employees? Do they have a benefit package, et cetera, if they're full-time?
They are employees of Visiting Angels, that's correct. All of our care staff are employees, and we do provide benefits to our caregivers. The challenge there is that while many of our caregivers may want, for example, 40 hours a week, we can't always guarantee that. And the reason we can't is that they might be working with Mr. Smith, and Mr. Smith rehabilitates and no longer needs service, so we don't necessarily have another 40 hours to just plug that caregiver into. So the hours can be fluctuating at times. So from that perspective, some of the benefit packages that are available are limited. However, we do provide, for example, some investment 401k, an Aflac benefit for if they get sick or injured. So we do vacation and sick time as well. So we try to accommodate them as much as possible with that varying schedule.
Given that this is a growth business, Michael Jamieson, and you mentioned that Visiting Angels requires people to have some experience, what's a place for somebody to get some experience?
Well, there's a couple of ways that you can do that. One is many of the rehabilitation facilities have programs that enable caregiving staff to get hands-on experience. There's also coursework that's available through community colleges, and some of the hospitals as well can provide some type of coursework that's available to individuals that are looking to get into caregiving.
All right, so lots of opportunities out there for sure. Let's come back again to the ISIS cell phone campaign. If people do want to take advantage of what you're offering through this campaign with Visiting Angels, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can call our local number in the Rogue Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And would you like me to give that number?
Yeah, if you have it, I'll take it down. We'll put it on Facebook, too.
Sure, it's 541-773-5002.
5002. And do you have the Eugene number handy as well?
I do. That's 541-505-7444.
7444. So 505-7444 for Eugene, area code 541. For Medford, area code 541-773-5002 or 5002 or 5002, depending on how you say it. The O's and the zeros tend to be a bit of a generational split, don't they?
They do, absolutely.
Do you have any takers on the ISIS cell phone campaign thus far?
Yeah, we do. We have a couple of clients that have really benefited from it, and also, more importantly, their family members have peace of mind that they're set up with the program.
All right. Michael Jamison is the owner of Visiting Angels. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
You bet. We'll put those numbers up later in the day on Facebook for the Medford and Eugene offices of Visiting Angels, if you'd like to call them about the ICE a cell phone campaign. That'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening.